Welcome to the Killjam Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dunbar. As always, keep listening for the CPD code to claim your basis points on the website. In this episode, I'm talking to a couple of drone experts from Copters who'll be telling us all about their company, the services that they offer, how drones are being used across different industries, and how drone technology could benefit us in the pest control sector. So, George, Benny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank
you so much for agreeing to speak to us today. It's a very exciting topic, all about drones today, isn't it? So without further ado, I'll leave you guys to sort of make your introductions and tell us a little bit about yourselves, tell us about Copters and what it is that you guys are all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go first. My name's Benny, and I'm a training instructor here at Copters, which means I deliver practical and theoretical training to new and experienced operators, especially around the regulations and safe operations of drones in the UK.
Fantastic.
Yeah, hi, Mike. My name's George, and I'm a UAV strategist at Copters. Been in the UAV industry for about 8 years now, and it's been primarily around asset inspection and asset integrity. So we do a lot of work both internally, externally, visual, thermal, or even LIDAR, and they've traditionally been sort of aimed around the nuclear, the facilities management, utilities, and just general buildings surveying, basically. So yeah, we cover a wide range of the industry.
Fantastic. Right, so I guess that leads us nicely onto, you know, what is that you guys use drones for, right? This is quite a broad spectrum of all the different industrial applications. So if you could just give us a sort of brief overview of how drones are being used against all these sort of commercial and industrial sectors.
Yeah, I mean, I'll quickly jump in just with a few words and then I'll let Benny go. But I mean, when you look at the drone industry as a whole and drone applications, you've got to remember that the drone is just the vehicle. It is purely a way of getting a camera or a sensor into a place where it's hard to reach. So you're basically avoiding the use of rope access, scaffolding, high access MUPs, ladders, all sorts of things. And you're putting your guys in a position of safety. You're not putting them in danger by putting them into these areas. So when we talk about why the drone industry has evolved so rapidly, we'd look at health and safety. We look at the actual availability of high level data. And drones have facilitated that through the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. We've seen a huge boom in probably the last 10 years, purely down to that. Cutting costs, saving time, and increasing safety. So that for me, those are the three big ones, with safety being the paramount feature.
Fantastic.
Over to you, Benny.
As you said, but there's a huge range of sectors that you can find drones in these days. So as you mentioned, surveying, inspections, but also public safety as well is now, there's a big use case for that. Agriculture as well.
Yeah.
Obviously spraying crops, that kind of thing. And general infrastructure. But yeah, it's, as we see, like every month, I think there's more use cases for drones coming out.
That's it.
It's the future.
Yeah, everybody's slowly waking up to the versatility and you know, even thinking of sort of the pest control angle side of things, you know, the big challenge you have in pest control is you're not able to get eyes on the situation very easily or, you know, very accessibly. So this is definitely something that could have, you know, huge applications in this sector as well. So obviously George kind of touched on this already, you know, about the sort of the key advantages of using drones over the more traditional methods. You know, we were talking about, you know, health and safety, time, money side of things.
Absolutely.
Do you want to expand on that a little bit as well?
Yeah, so speed, obviously, I think it's a figure that we've worked out. Drones reduce time on task by like 70% when you're talking about surveying.
Yeah.
And even more so if you then go into drone in a box solutions as well.
Right.
That just the rapid rate of being able to launch that drone, get it to do its job.
Yeah.
Obviously, that speed takes a huge amount of money and cost out of jobs as well. And then safety, as George has touched on as well, it removes the need of having that human on the ground being exposed to those risky environments too. So yeah, huge. I'm guessing that also translates to pest control as well.
100%.
Do you use chemicals, obviously?
All the time.
So I don't want to be exposed to that. Drones are immune to it. Yeah, they don't get affected physically by those things. So, yeah. Right,
regards to access to certain areas that have been potentially treated at some point. I know that in certain countries, I think somewhere in Europe, they are using drones to physically apply insecticides in certain situations. You know, I don't think that, you know, there'll be a bit of a mountain to climb to get that sort of use approved in the UK.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like we said earlier, you know, it's something that a lot of people are waking up to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's actually something that's already a bit going ahead in the UK.
All right.
In very finite areas where the CAA have approved it. But
amazing.
If it's a case of cleaning greenhouse roofs where it's very difficult to get to, to maximize the amount of light that gets in for obviously the plants, but we're now seeing it in an industrial sector, so on railway bridges, all sorts of things that can you know, reduce the downtime of, say, that truck, and increase and at the end of the day, increase the profit and increase the accessibility of the trains. So
that's it.
That's what it comes down to.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, no, I love that. So as you said, it's been in the last sort of decade or so that, you know, you've noticed a massive boom in the use of drones. What do you reckon sort of the technological advancements that have happened that had led to that point of, you know, drone technology being so well utilized and accessible?
Yeah, I mean, there's just been obviously an uptake in the market. So more drone, the more demand for those drones, then the more effort goes into that technology advancement. But we've seen awesome stuff. George, you can probably talk more about LiDAR and how that's affected the industry. It's a huge game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, LiDAR is not really a new application. You know, we've got terrestrial ground stations being used in survey industry across the world for maybe the last 30 years, but it's the ability to then mount that onto an aerial perspective and get to areas that are traditionally very difficult to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about thermal, visual, and drones, and I think one of the biggest reasons why drones have become so popular is because over the years, we started out with companies building FPVs and custom builds and then putting like a Sony camera on. But they're now being mass produced. They're being equipped with waterproofing, weatherproofing features, which allow them to, and let's face it, in the UK, you probably get about 6 months of good weather, flyable weather, if you're lucky. Yeah. So when you actually look at and you break it down to days active, you want to maximize that time. So, you know, even if there's a light drizzle, you may lose some quality on the image, but at least you're not going to have a drone falling out of the sky and, you know, costing you and your company $5,000 to $10,000. So, you know, the advancements on the actual flight time, transmission range, and then waterproofing as well, the IP rating, it's huge. That is massive.
So I did a study, like a weather study, basically assessing the differences in the ratings of drones and how it affects your probability of flight. And the differences between something that's not IP rated, like your Mavics, compared to your Matrice drones. Say, for example, in February, in Plymouth, you have about approximately 45% chance of flying that Mavic drone.
Right.
As opposed to, I think it jumped up to something like 80% if you used an IP rated drone. So it really does have an effect of your ability to fly. So
amazing.
Yeah, those advancements in IP rating really are crucial.
That's brilliant. You know, you've mentioned LiDAR as well. You know, this is something that's, you know, being, been well discussed in other areas. I sort of got sucked into a documentary about the sinking of Titanic a couple of nights ago, and I know they've done it was one of those nights. I believe they use LiDAR technology to kind of map the wreck and create like a virtual twin of that the wreck, so they can, you know, look at this is where the restroom was, and then you can basically walk through the Titanic. You know, I believe this is something that your drones are capable of as well, obviously not mapping the Titanic, but you know, with regards to potential bird control applications, mapping a structure and creating a digital twin with all the measurements. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, George, you've got extensive knowledge in this So yeah, I'd say
like, I mean, another great example is they flew LiDAR systems over the Amazon, right, and they were able to see ground level because of the way that it penetrates through. So by a visible eye, you can't see anything under the canopy, but the penetration of the LiDAR with multi-returns and all sorts of things, you can actually get a true topographic survey.
Amazing.
So when you're actually looking at the ground level, you can start to see structures that you would never see. You'd have to wade through, you know, miles and miles of the Amazon to actually get to. And, and this comes into effect with, you know, in the UK, if you've got train lines or bridges with branches and trees coming in, you can't always get to them. So it'll get through that and it will map it. And then it gives the operator a bit more of an understanding of what's there. Yeah. How do we complete this mission and how do we get there? But I mean, LiDAR is fascinating. It is fantastic. And, you know, it's traditionally been on airplanes or helicopters. Mm-hmm. But because of that advancement that Bendy talks about, they've been able to make it lighter, more affordable, and now drone mounted. So it's taken something which was, if anything, quite military grade, scientific grade, to consumer level, to enterprise level, where, you know, you and me can go out there on a day and probably map, you know, what they couldn't map probably 20 years ago. Yeah. So
that's right.
It's it's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll live in a golden era then.
It's
really, really exciting time to be in the drone industry for sure.
100%. Yeah. Another thing, sort of thinking back to sort of pest control applications, you've mentioned sort of detecting heat signatures within the drones. Tell us a little bit more about that. So is a similar sort of technology, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned it before, but it's almost like you've got the drone as the vehicle and it's all about the sensor. And I guess your guys are going up on roofs with sort of handheld thermal cameras a lot of the time, looking for heat spots.
So
insulation companies or roofing companies have been using that for years. But now with the drone, it's not a case of, right, okay, let's get health and safety involved. Let's, you know, plan out getting a structure up to go and inspect this. Send the drone up. Within a couple of minutes, we can get a full image of a side of a building or a roof of a building and see all of the hotspots where there may be insulation falling down from the likes of pests or from damage, from, you know, weather. And then they can have a real insight, you know, actual insight is what we work with.
Definitely.
And then they can go straight into their planning for the next stage.
The quality of these thermal cameras you get in the enterprise series drones nowadays are just incredible as well. You get spot check, temperature readings, stuff that if you went to buy just a sole like thermal camera by itself, it would cost you thousands anyway.
Yeah.
So why not as well get a vehicle for that?
Absolutely.
Have a drone as well.
Yeah, again, obviously you get the benefit of all the other uses alongside with that as well. No, that's brilliant. Obviously, you know, you've mentioned finding sort of colder spots within the property, but even, you know, thinking back to pest control, even, you know, living creatures that we would be dealing with as part of our pest control work, you know, will emit heat signatures, whether it would be a wasp's nest in the loft just to identify the shape of it, the structure when it comes to the treatments, a rat's nesting within a wall cavity, or even potentially for you know, bee removal work. Sometimes the entrance to the nest could be at the corner of the building and you're trying to work out where the actual colony is. You can, you know, take half the house down by the time to where that actual nest is. So, you know, being able to pinpoint those areas would be really, really cool. No, that's brilliant. Anything else on advancements?
So we have, I've mentioned drone in the box systems as well.
Yeah.
And with those drone in the box systems, you have the autonomy there as well. So that's repeatable flights that you can do again and again and again, something that we struggle to do as humans because we're not robots. So we can't have that specific, exactly the same mission that you send it off of. So you have that ability with drone in the box as well.
So just to clarify, the sort of drone in the box is like, it's like a docking station almost for the drone. It's
absolutely
sitting there, and then you pre-program it or you release it to do its survey and check whatever it needs to check and then come back and report.
Absolutely. And it has the ability to charge the drone by itself, data uploads, firmware updates. It does it all in-house in that station.
Right, honestly, this is like a sci-fi movie. This is fantastic because my personal experience with drones, obviously this is commercial, slightly different, but I remember getting a drone for, can't remember how old it was for my birthday, and I was very excited, took it to the park and started flying it and the wind took it and that was it. That's the last time I've seen my drone. Obviously, I'm assuming they all sort of stabilized and that's not the case anymore. They'll be able to hover and follow you around all these sorts of
things. The advancements as well, like we still obviously get a lot of flyaways with all the drones nowadays. It's kind of unheard of. Just the reliability and the ability to hold those GNSS signals.
Yeah,
I think.
yeah, you wouldn't believe how many people advance within a company or take, you know, their company capabilities to the next level because they've had experience with, say, a toy drone.
Yeah,
they've seen what's possible.
Yeah,
and they go, okay, well, what does the enterprise level stuff do? The safer stuff, the stuff that can actually work. And, you know, that they're the champions that, you know, we work with day in day. So maybe the survey team or the inspection team, they'll always have somebody who drives it. And, you know, that's innovators, that's entrepreneurs for you. So
fantastic. Right, nice. So obviously we mentioned the sort of the amateur and toy side of things compared to the commercial side.
Yeah.
I don't suppose, you know, I don't believe it's the case that anyone can just pick up a drone and fly it and crack on with it. So are there any regulatory considerations that need to be taken into account before, you know, you acquire one of those drones for commercial use specifically?
Absolutely. So as you said, yeah. Not everyone can just pick up a drone and fly. So if you did want to, there's rules in place. So if the drone's over 100 grams now, you need to obtain a flyer ID, which is through the CAA. It's like a 40-question exam.
Okay.
And then that awards you with a flyer ID. Then you can start to actually fly drones as well. You need an operator ID to stick on that drone. So that's called your DMARES, your Drone and Model Aircraft Registration and Education Service.
Yeah.
So then after that, if you did want to fly commercially, you need insurance in place.
Just, right.
So specialist drone insurance, but it's all about liability, basically.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you wanted to fly either heavier drones or within a congested area, you might want to look into getting a GBC certificates.
Okay.
That's your qualification there to fly in the specific category, which is more industry based.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon we'll be offering these courses called remote pilot competency, which is your new qualifications, which aligns with a thing called SORA, the specific operations risk assessment, which is just come in a couple of months ago.
Right. I
see. CAA, so.
Yeah, I believe it's similar to sort of pest control. There's ongoing changes to legislation and regulations and how people can approach things with regards to that. No, that's fair enough. Obviously, you've mentioned insurance, you know, that element of risk, you know, with operating something that hovers over people's heads.
Yeah.
It definitely has to be considered. Would you recommend, are there any specific steps that people can take to, you know, to ensure that they work within the legal parameters safely and promote that responsible use of drones?
Yeah, well, so just get the right training, really. And if in doubt, ask us helicopters. We're always here to help people that want to fly drones. So we're enablers in the industry, really. And then I just recommend just using your, you know, using risk assessments, obviously, as you would in normal industry.
Yeah.
The same goes for flying drones, really.
100%.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Just a quick interruption to give you the CPD code to claim your basis points. The code for this episode is UAV-CPD-832. That's UAV-CPD-832. Now back to the podcast. Right. Okay. So, can you tell us a little bit about the sort of the drones themselves that you guys are working with?
Yeah. So, at Copters, we test a lot of the high end drones that come in through industry. So, we're talking like DJI Matrice series, Parrot Anafi, Elios 3 from Flyability. So, all the basic kind of drones that are specialized in industry. It's pretty cool to be able to fly the new greatest tech out there.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously you'll be scanning for certain features that those drones will have that then you'll be able to recommend to specific industries and applications.
Yeah, exactly that. And just for abilities that we've been talking about, like LiDAR capabilities, thermal, all these new exciting things. And a lot of the time, every new drone that we get or new software that's released, there's more features, so we have to go out and test them so we can promote them. What we've seen is a lot of AI features in recent drones, and the ability to scan the area for they kind of categorize the amount of people or vehicles for subject tracking, for obviously use cases like in the police, all these kinds of things. So yeah,
that's brilliant.
One of the new ones with the AI that you can upgrade to is livestock as well. Farmers go over, instead of having to do a count or whatever, it'll come up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of a certain cow, and it'll categorize what type of cow.
Oh, amazing.
But some cool features.
Just thinking, even if you've got a rogue sheep or something like that that went off.
Absolutely, yeah.
To try and find the spot. Yeah. That's a lot easier than running through the field, you know, screaming at it. Yeah, no.
just to touch on the tech side. So one of the big things at Copters that we do is we look at the industry in general, and if there's new technology coming out, we try and facilitate our customers as best we can. So if it's something that fits within our portfolio or fits within our sort of price book, or you know, our offering to our customers, we would look to bring them on. And a good example of that is obviously with DJI being a Chinese manufactured drone. Security, police, certain critical national infrastructure are very what's the best way to say this is probably hesitant, wary of letting that come to site. So as a company, we reached out to the market. We found both French in the parrot equipment and European, but American, like the Anzus. We put them for a very strenuous testing phase, make sure that the equipment is ready to be operated in the industry. Okay. And then we would take it to market. So, you know, if there's a requirement in the industry, non-DJI, non-Chinese, then we would come with a solution. So, you know, we're not a single source like DJI, but we're multifaceted. You know, we have a wide umbrella, so to speak, depending on the application. And that's what we like to marry up to.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. So it kind of goes hand in hand. The need leads for, you know, the search for the right supply. Yeah. I guess, you know, again, within the pest control industry, there'll be people that would think, you know, listen to this podcast and think, actually, that would cut me a load of time doing, you know, whatever it is, bird surveys, you know, for netting. Cutting this all out, they reach out to you guys and say, look, I need a drone that can do X, Y, Z. I mean, like, right, okay, this will be the one for you.
Absolutely. And as well as just offering the tech as well, to go with that, we offer our handover services as well. So we can actually come in and train you on the tech that you're buying to make sure you're getting the most out of that tech.
Yeah, nice. That kind of leads us nicely onto the training side of things, because you guys deliver and provide the training for the certification and training in the use of drones and licenses. So what does that entail? What's the structure of that?
So we offer everything from the A to C of C to GBC and bespoke sector based training, as well as what we're hoping to be able to train on the remote pilot competency level 1 and 2, which is the brand new courses that'll be released from the CAA. That's in person or online, depending on your needs. The GBC course is kind of the biggest enabler in terms of what you can do as a drone pilot, and so that course includes theory and practical, and then your operation manual support. And you're talking about a 3-day course there, so 2 days of theory, including your exam, and then a bit of flight coaching if you need it, and the flight assessment as well on the third day.
Amazing. All right, fantastic. So I believe that there's sort of a partnership ongoing with Kiljum at the moment. Is there's a sort of little bundles that you guys obviously be able to offer to pest controllers Trust 3 was. So what's involved in those? What kind of qualifications go with that?
And I believe that one is the GBC course.
That's, perfect.
I had a look at the website.
That's it. Yeah. Nice.
It's very much the GBC course.
Yeah.
And there's a bundle you can get there with a drone, I believe, as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, they're specific to sort of the application. Because, I mean, a Kiljum, you'll be, people listening to this have, you know, A, B, and C won't be the same. So depending on what it is, you know, come have a chat with us and see what we do. I mean, before all the training and before talking about equipment, we actually put on yearly or sort of every couple of months, we do like a big demo day. Where we had our innovation day this year, where we basically brought all of our manufacturers, all of our partners together, just near Leeds, and we had a full day of flying, talks, experts, commentary, and sort of a panel show as well. So you can ask questions. It's, you know, a bit more, bit more involving for the customers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they get to learn a little bit of what's going on in the industry, see what's out there, and it also a good good networking event as well. So you can actually meet people and understand how other people are using technology, how you can then use it. And yeah, it's a really good match.
That's awesome.
Of course, it's good catering as well.
The food was good. Very nice. Very nice. When's the next one happening again? Just then.
We've got one coming up that's planned for the end of September, I believe. We tend to try and do them within the spring or autumn season.
Yes.
Winters, we've proven to be very tricky with the weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll keep everyone updated with them.
It's fantastic. Obviously, people will be able to find more information on your website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reach out on that. That'd be fantastic. It's always the value of, you know, sort of face-to-face events, you know, these sort of the proverbial water cooler conversations. Oh, actually, yeah, no, that's a great idea. And then that sort of develops further. So if someone were to, you know, go onto one of your courses, purchase a drum from you guys, you show them how to use it. It takes, I believe, the course is over a number of days. Yeah. There's a practical element to it, so everyone's nice and comfortable and know how to use their kit.
Yeah.
What if that kit sort of then breaks further down the line? Will they be able to kind of reach out to you guys and how does that look?
Yeah, there's warranty on all of the equipment. So if it was a, you know, manufacturer issue, or we do maintenance checks, servicing checks, either 6 month or 12 month. Yeah. And it's really what we put into place. But we've got a team downstairs in our technical department who basically it's their job to help you guys get back on your feet as quickly as possible. So I was actually just down this morning, we had a guy who drove up from South Wales with his drone, said a job at the end of the week, we've got a technical issue. One of our team, Jamie, took the drone apart within 10 minutes 15 minutes, found the fault, fixed it, and he was back on the road. So
fantastic.
You know, it's the ability to be quite fluid helps in our favor as well.
Yeah.
So we're able to, you know, facilitate quick deployment and, you know, quick repairs if and when needed, really.
Nice. Sounds like a sort of nice, tidy end-to-end process, you know, all the drone needs potentially met in one place. That's brilliant. No, that's great. So I guess, you know, as we're looking to wrap up, I've got one sort of final question. Mm-hmm. Just looking ahead, you know, going to get a little whimsical now, but you know, what are you foreseeing? You know, you've mentioned the use of AI, which is obviously a massive thing at the moment, you know, getting your phones, getting obviously in the drones all over the place.
Yeah.
Anything that you guys are sort of anticipating, any future innovations that could affect drone technology specifically, and how would you see that lead to the involvement of drones in various industries?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so there's a need for detect and avoid at the moment in drones, because it's going to unlock the skies for us in the next 5 or so years. We're looking to be able to do beyond visual line of sight flights and integrate our drones into manned aviation skies, basically. And for that, there's a requirement for a thing called detect and avoid. So that's the drone sensing other aircraft and for the aircraft to detect our drones.
Amazing.
And there's going to be a whole load of innovation in the next couple of years on how that's going to work. But it's really exciting stuff. It's going to unlock us even more in the drone industry. So really looking forward to that. And as you said, AI integration is just going to get better and better. At the moment, I can't tell you what might be in the future.
No.
But I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there seems to be a lot going on in this area specifically. But yeah, that's quite interesting. So what you're telling us basically that in the next 10 years, a pest controller will be able to do a survey of a building from his living room chair, essentially. Is that a bit of a stretch?
Well, I think that's pretty much nearly there. The drone in a box solutions, the docking solutions we mentioned before, the ability to, you know, for somebody based in London to operate something in Glasgow, take the drone off, go up, identify what they need to do. If it's a building survey, create a model, land, you're, you know, reducing the need for travel.
Yeah.
You're reducing the need for somebody to be on that roof at all.
That's it.
You can then plan around the weather. So you're not having to send guys halfway across the country to sit in a hotel for a night and wait for the weather to get better. So I think,
as you said, the text
with the AI as well, it's going to be next level. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's all about making it safe, really, and proving that it's safe. And then it would.
That's it. Yeah.
Be future skies.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And yeah, no, that's all awesome stuff. Thank you so much, guys. It's, you know, kind of to summarize, I guess, you know, the use of drones, the applications though could have in pest control, you know, could be massive. And
yeah,
if someone has an idea, you know, you are the guys to potentially provide a solution for that particular problem, you know, whether it be cutting down time for a survey of a building before thinking of what bird proofing methods will be best for that situation. You know, time that you're going to save on the materials, access to it, getting the scaffolding up and down, getting the guys at hides, health and safety elements, costs, all kind of folds into one beautiful solution there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's huge.
That's brilliant. No, honestly, guys, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
And likewise.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Thank you so much. If anyone would like to find out any more, obviously, they can go directly to your websites, contact you guys directly. If they'd like to find out more about the training bundle that's available through Killgem, they can obviously get in contact with Killgem, and we'll be more than happy to provide any information.
100%, yeah. And our phone lines are always open, but always happy to help.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks.
Nice one. Again, massive thanks to Benny and George for coming on. Very interesting conversation, and one which hopefully will prompt some thought processes on how best we could utilize drone technology in pest control. Make sure to tune in to the next one. I'll see you then.